Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Schoenbrunn Community Moravian Church. We'd all repeat the watchword for the week. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Welcome again. Announcements for today, you can find in your bulletin some highlights, I guess. One I see here, Dover First Moravian Church invites all Moravian congregations to attend opening night of Trumpet in the Land on Friday, June 16th at 8:30. And the cost is only $5. And I'd like to thank Reverend Bill Server for bringing us our message this morning and bringing communion to us today. On this side, I see Vacation Bible School offering is in the narthex today, and I believe next week is Undy Sunday. Trustees meet Wednesday night. And a note here, the Lunch Bunch will be having lunch at the Elks fundraiser today. They'll meet at the Elks at 11 a.m. After, we have plenty of bodies that will help us unload the building out there with garage sale items, and so we can get it into our fellowship hall. So we'd like to have help right after service for moving boxes. And another thing would be a big thank you to everyone who helped at the Strawberry Festival yesterday. And there are extra shortcakes. Any price for that, Linda, or anything for the
free will donation?
Okay, and my notes on this side. Ushers and greeters, Becky's looking for the next couple months. And sign-up sheet is in the narthex. And McKenna has an announcement for us.
Okay, so we have VBS offering going into the narthex for our VBS this year, which is Living Water. Essentially, we are creating the VBS this year, so we think it should be fun. Our goal is $300, so if you can put donations in a basket out there, then we have this giant graduate cylinder for the of our friends and science teacher out there. And share a few things with all the clergy of the state about 100% our funds that we get at camp are donated toward missions, and that we make pledges here at the church to take that either goes toward our own funds or toward mission funds and help for us. Those are our camp systems going. And we also share that it's just a personal goal to have 100 members for all of this year. Now, last year, I think we had 70 some campers, and I think that would be awesome. So if anybody has any questions on that model, or wants to know anything about it, or wants to ever get formed or anything, you can just talk to me.
Thanks, McKenna. And one more I think needs brought up is the Dover Philly Food Pantry. Is always in need of volunteers, but the announcement here says needs 10 more volunteers on Thursday evenings for distribution. So anyone having time, wanting to put that in their mission benevolence, that's at what, Floyd, like 4:30 in the afternoon?
Yeah, 4:30 in the afternoon is a good time to get there. And it's usually until 8 o'clock at night.
Till 8 o'clock.
Or until everybody is served. So it's usually about 8 o'clock.
Okay. Any other messages? Linda.
We need people to sign up for birthday cake. If they're going to have birthday cake.
Need to sign up for birthday cakes. If we want to have a birthday cake.
That's right. Nobody okay. has signed up for June, and I'm not going to order a cake if there's no need.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's all stand, if able, and sing our first hymn, Father, I Adore You, number 388 in your Moravian Book of Worship. Our sisters and brothers in Christian fellowship. Remain standing and turn to page 100, Liturgy of Trinity. To receive glory, honor, and power. You created all things, and by your will, you brought them forth.
To you, the one who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb, be praise and honor, glory and might, forever and ever.
Triune God, we acknowledge the profound mystery of your being, beyond our comprehension, three in one, one in three.
Yet what we can never know by ourselves, you have revealed to us through your word and your mighty works, through Jesus Christ and the presence of your Spirit, you have made yourself known.
You offer the gracious gift of eternal life.
Eternal life is in you, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
As we bow before you, Holy God, we confess our unholiness and receive your word of forgiveness. Please be seated. Gracious God, we confess our sin, which separates us from you. We know how people who belong to you should live, but we fail to live that way. We have done evil and have failed to do good. We have lived for self rather than for you or our neighbor. Thus our lives are diminished, our witness is stifled, and your image in us is tarnished. Forgive us, good Lord, through Jesus Christ, by your Spirit, guide us to live as people who know and love you. Amen. The Lord, who saves you, says, I am the God who forgives your sins. I do this because of who I am. I will not hold your sins against you. Please stand. God is Father, who seeks loving relationships with all whom he has created.
Like a mother, God has nurtured us all and has been near the time of trouble.
Praise the Lord, and do not forget how kind God is,
who forgives our sins and redeems us from the grave,
who blesses us with steadfast love and tender mercy.
He fills our lives with good things, so that our youth is renewed like eagles.
We know God as Jesus Christ, the Word who became a human being and lived among us, full of grace and truth.
No one has ever seen God, the only Son, who is one with God and is at the Father's side. He has made God known.
God created the whole universe through Him and for Him. Christ existed before all things. And in union with Him, all things have their proper place.
Jesus was humble and walked the path of obedience all the way to death, even death on the cross.
For this reason, God raised Him to the highest place above and gave Him the name that is greater than any other name.
And so, in honor of the name of Jesus, all beings in heaven, on earth, and in the whole world, who follow in our needs, and all the world proclaim Jesus Christ, the Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
We know God as the Holy Spirit, who reveals the truth about God.
The world cannot receive the Spirit because it cannot see or know Him. But we know Him because the Spirit remains with us and is in us.
God's Spirit joins with our spirits to declare that we are God's children.
The Holy Spirit is the Helper who stays with us forever.
Because we are God's children, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who cries out, Father, my Father.
Like a mighty wind, like a blazing fire, the Holy Spirit comes upon us and fills us with power, making us witnesses for Christ to the neighborhood, to the nation, and to the ends of the earth.
May you have power to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, and so be filled with all the fullness of God.
It is through Christ that all of us are able to come in one Spirit into the presence of the Father.
Please stand. Now to God, who by God's power within us is able to do far more than we ever dared to ask or imagine. To God be glory in the church through Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. At this time we ask for prayers of the people. Names are listed here in our bulletins. We have no additional prayers for this morning. Does anybody have any they would like to bring? Yes.
Tom Edwards from the Yersville Church is in the hospital, and our neighbor Rick Kilpatrick from the Geneva Church.
Wow. Okay. Blessings to them. Anyone else? Let us go into prayer. Gracious Father, we ask for your healing, comfort, and blessings for those names raised up to you today, either by word or in our hearts. Care for their needs, as our Heavenly Father taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The first scripture lesson is from Genesis chapter 1 through chapter 2, verse 4. It can be found on page 1 in your Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters, to separate water from water." So God made the expanse, and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and gathered the seas he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea, and every living and moving thing with which the water teems, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful, and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw that all he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating what he had done. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. The second scripture lesson is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 through 13. It can be found on page 823 in your pew Bible. Finally, brothers, goodbye. Aim for perfection, listen to my appeal, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints send their greetings. The gospel lesson is from chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. We found on page 706 in your pew Bible. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Will the children please come forward?
Sitting down. Okay. Whatever. We are all probably guilty of this at one time or another, saying, I'm Christian, you're Jewish, she's Muslim, or whatever, but we all basically worship the same God, which honestly is only partially true, the escape word being basically. True. The three religions grew from the same seed. They're all Abrahamic in origin. But there are probably, honestly, more differences than there are similarities. As Christians, we do not believe... I've got to find the right angle. There. Lights are glary on the screen. Sorry. As Christians, we do not believe in some monistic, generic, vague, easily managed, inoffensive God. In other words, a nice little God we can keep in the corner and just bring out whenever we want. We believe that God is Trinity. Christians are those who believe that when we say God, we mean the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three in one, one in three. Line in our liturgy this morning. And we're going to try something a little risky this morning. Not self-serve communion. Don't worry about that. Going to try and explore Christian doctrine in the sermon. And not just any doctrine, but the most challenging and the mysterious of all doctrines. And if you haven't figured it out yet by what today is, it's the doctrine of the Trinity. And at this point, I would almost love either a rim shot on the drums or a dun-dun-dun. Thank you. Not only because this is Trinity Sunday, but also because we've gathered together in the name of a specific, unique God whom we name as Trinity. Now, the doctrine of Trinity is probably one of the greatest intellectual achievements of Christian theology. They were really working full tilt when they put that together. It's our language about God. It's the Christian's way of describing God. The Trinity indicates the sort of lives we are called to live if we worship the true and living God, rather than the host of false worldly gods that vie for our attention. In the Trinity, Christians mean, one, God remained powerful, all-powerful, and transcendent, and that, number two, Jesus who died and was raised by God was somehow also God, and that, three, the Spirit poured out on the church is also God. And yet, there's only one God. Sorry, I had two up there for a second. Or two tastes in one. How many of you remember that commercial? Okay, so each part of God is separate and distinct, yet they're all the same person. Got it? What's so confusing about that? From the beginning of Christian thought, we've struggled to understand God as Trinity. Augustine, in his Confessions, suggests a way of explaining God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He says, our relationship with the Trinity is like a play upon the stage in which God is simultaneously the author, the main actor, and the director. God writes the script, performs the play, and directs the play, bringing in a host of other actors, us, whom God prompts to ensure the enactment of the drama. Or, another way to look at it, God is the lover, the beloved, and the love. In confirmation, I used to use the illustration of water to represent the Trinity. because it has three distinct states. Water is liquid. It can be frozen into an ice cube. It's solid. And it's also gaseous to represent the idea of the Trinity. The only problem came, the kids took it too literally. They would get hung up on which was which. So is God like the liquid part, the original state? And steam's the spirit, they could get that, because it's kind of misty. But they had trouble with Jesus as ice, frozen water, to which I say, let it go. There you got it. Frozen, let it go. I'm putting a lot of humor in, because otherwise the Trinity, I hope discussion of the Trinity can be like, huh? And it just kind of, you fall asleep. It's tough to struggle. It's tough for even clergy to struggle with and define. And if we keep talking about it abstractly as a play and an author, director, and water and ice and mist, steam, pretty soon it'd be like taking 250 to Bridgeport and passing ourselves on the switchbacks. Plus, we don't live in a doctrinal world. We live in a very pragmatic, practical world. So to try and describe Trinity in doctrinal, philosophical, theological terms, we can get lost very easily. We were created by the Trinity to be, as Wesley wrote in one of his hymns, transcripts of the Trinity. Little Trinities running around in the world. God writing a message to the world upon us, speaking to the world about God's inner being through our lives that are formed in the likeness of the Trinity. So, what does all this mean for us? You'll be relieved to know that I don't intend to go into all the implications of our affirmation of the Trinity. Just to one highlight. The Trinity stresses that God is relational in nature. The European Enlightenment, back 300 or so plus years, for all its positive things that brought us to where we are in history and not riding horses in suits of armor and all that kind of stuff, also has its downsides. One being, it invented the idea of a person as an isolated, inner, individual consciousness detached from the world, the singleness of man. But that's counter to this idea of God being relational and us then being relational. Today we've reclaimed, thanks to sociology, psychology, history, literature, blah, 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 the Trinitarian insight that personhood can't be divorced from relationships. We are the body of Christ and individually members of it. 1 Corinthians 12:27. That's the way Paul puts this relationally to the church. We are free to pray to any member of the Trinity because the three are one. So they all are interconnected. In today's parlance, they're networked together. The Trinity is complete, mutual, self-giving love. And Christians define love backwards through the Trinity. Because we have met a God who is complete and mutual and self-giving love. We become more loving in our relationships with others because of that relationship we have with God and how the three parts of God relate to each other. And this is what we mean a lot when we say God is love. Because all parts love. each other and us, and it's all a nice, complete package. We don't just have relationships. Relationships is who we are. It's not something we just have, not something we just do. One of the most ethically formative things that a church asks us to do is to become Christians in community with people. That's why we meet as a body, as a family, as a church, to worship, to have that relationship all together. You join a church, you join with people you didn't even know before. And people who, honestly, when you get to know them, you may not like them. But you're one with them and work towards a common goal. Telling the world about Christ, keeping the church in place, all those things. We believe there is no way for us to grow in Christ when we're alone, when we're not in relationships. We need relationships with other Christians in order to grow in our faith in Christ. Christianity can never be a solo experience because we're Trinitarian. Our God is always reaching out, speaking forth, and reaching in, even as the Father is always reaching toward and talking to Jesus. So Jesus is always speaking to the Father. And the Holy Spirit is also speaking to the Son and the Father. It's the nature of the church to want to draw everyone into that conversation, even as it's the nature of the Trinity to draw all reality to itself. In fact, we're here this morning because of our relational God. The Trinity has drawn us towards itself. And this relational God, this is living in us, keeps putting us in contact with others, keeps enabling us, keeps enabling others to get through to us, and we to them. We are relational because our God is relational. Our God is always reaching towards us, even when we're not aware of it. Always speaking to us, even when we're not listening. Always reaching for us in love. So in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. Lord God, come to us in all your delightful difference and thick complexity. Come to us as lover, the loved, and the loving. Come to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Save us from our futile attempts to try to tame your immensity, to worship you as less than you are. Enable us to grow up toward you rather than to try to shrink you down to our limits. Come to us, we pray, so that we might come to you as you are. Amen. Let us turn now to page 222 and join together in the celebration of communion for the coming of the Holy Spirit. I greet you with the salutation from Paul, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us all.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Please rise. Thank you.
We thank you for this time to come together as family, the relationships we have within this body, we know come from you, as you are in the Son, and the Son is in you, and the Holy Spirit is in both. So you are in us, and we are in each other, with love in hearts and faith in Him. In your name we pray. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." by your divine presence, by the holy sacraments, by all the merits of your life, sufferings, death, and resurrection.
Bless and comfort us, gracious Lord and God. Amen.
In the same way, after supper, our Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." Christ, the Lamb of God, who take away the sin of the world.
Grant to us your peace. Amen.
Unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace.
Amen.